Well, hello and welcome to the unofficial Unreal Engine podcast, where we talk about all things Unreal Engine and also, where have you been all my year? Hi, it's me, your host, Alex Coulombe. I know it's been a little while, but I'm happy to see you. I thought I just had to drop in before the year was out to say hi to you. I've actually received a surprising number of very nice messages from folks being like, hey, love the podcast, when's it coming back, all that good stuff. And the answer is simply, I want it to. I want to do more of this. I unfortunately keep overbooking myself, and part of what I'm going to be doing with this particular episode, which is just me, by the way, no special guest, is just to kind of go through what's been happening this year, partially to be like, here's why I don't have time for the podcast, but also because I hope it'll be interesting to this particular audience. Pretty much everything I'm going to talk about is Unreal Engine related. So I've got like a bunch of tabs pulled up on my browser, and we're just going to go through a few various things one by one. And I hope it's useful. I hope it's interesting to you as we wrap up our holiday season here after a crazy 2025. But you know what happened this year? We got 5.6 as well as 5.7 for Unreal Engine. Truth be told, 5.6 came and went so quickly, and we were so busy over the summer, I barely had time to touch it. And 5.7 looked very promising, looked great. There were things like application space warp in an OpenXR capacity, which would mean that for those of us who do a lot with VR and often use like Meta's fork of Unreal to get better space warp, you know, for a better frame rate, a better reprojection, that we wouldn't have to do that anymore and use Oculus's fork, which is usually a few versions behind Unreal Engine's, you know, main version. But it wasn't working. So, you know, that's something that we also still want to go back to. We're very excited, though, about how many things on the VR side are leaning more toward OpenXR. We've been doing stuff with Samsung Galaxy and with the Apple Vision Pro and all sorts of fun stuff that I will at least touch on. But let's just kind of go through it all. We're just going to have some fun here touching on a number of different things as I pull open various tabs on my computer. So it's not exactly going to be chronological order, but, you know, we'll cover some stuff. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the rapid fire machine gunning of my here's what's been going on this year in 2025 for Alex Coulombe and Agile Lens and Unreal Engine and teaching and all that kind of fun stuff. So we'll start with, as I go, show overlay for those of us who see the video feed. This just came out today. Ian Hamilton, who wrote this nice article already about the Four Seasons 5,000 square foot holodeck, just published a nice little piece about our final shows of Christmas Carol. And longtime listeners of the podcast might recall that we've done previous episodes where we interviewed Yujun Ye, who's the lead developer at Agile Lens, on Christmas Carol. And we've talked about the show and some of the technical innovations we've done over the year. It's a piece that we've always treated as kind of an R&D sandbox, where we just kind of will treat it as like a, oh, hey, you know, we released Body of Mine this year on Quest, and that required a lot of work optimizing Cameron Christopoulos's heavier PC VR version and getting it to run on MetaQuest, and now we know how to optimize MetaHumans for VR. Pre-UEFN MetaHumans, of course. And so now it's like, okay, we can take our PC VR version of Christmas Carol and see if we can get it to run totally standalone on Quest. And so, like, we would do things like that. And so every year there were kind of new elements of what we wanted to do with the show, and they got more and more advanced and exciting. And we finally decided just the other day that we're ready to say goodbye and to retire the show, which isn't something I think was an easy decision, but it feels like we fulfilled all the goals of what we wanted to do with the show. We wanted it to go from more of a tech project where it was like 80% throwing new Unreal Engine features at the wall and seeing what would stick, and 20% like stabilizing them and actually making sure they work consistently. And now, after a very successful run at Raindance Immersive, where we were invited and nominated for Best Immersive Theater in June, it was a super stable run of shows. Nothing went wrong at all. We're like, okay, cool. Like, if we keep innovating on the show, we keep doing more R&D, et cetera, we're not going to be able to really upgrade the project well, because we still have all these legacy assets from 4.27. Actually, 4.25 was the original version of the show. And we're kind of losing traction as we like keep trying to pull these things into future versions of Unreal. For example, we'd love to have like fresh, new, clean, optimized MetaHumans, but that's like an entirely new process starting from scratch. And we could do that with Christmas Carol, or we could do it with a completely new show. So Christmas Carol, we're comfortable retiring it. the major innovations we had this year that are contributing to that, in addition to finally the ability to feel like it's a stable show that can support a large audience and all that, also include good audio quality. The first year of the show, when everything was running over NVIDIA Cloud XR, over, you know, RTX A6000s running in virtual machines, we actually had a dedicated audio system which made sure that everyone was hearing like crystal clear audio, non-spatialized though, inside VR. And even if the show crashed or went down, you could continue to hear the sonorous sounds of Ari's voice. And that was cool, but then when we started to make this into an experience that could run on your local PC or in Quest, that wasn't there. And I was always a little bit frustrated by the general audio quality we were getting. And we finally wrestled Odin to the ground, which is the SDK that we're using with Unreal Engine, for good quality multiplayer audio. And we're using some external mics. If you're curious which ones, I can't remember them off the top of my head. It's a mod mic. There you go. M-O-D-M-I-C. Can't remember the name of the company, but we have those set up using the Quest Pros, which the actors are still using for full body mocap, and it's great. They sound good. No more puh, like plosive sounds and mic rubbing against, you know, hair and face kind of stuff, which we'd get a lot of when just using the Quest Pro mic. So the audio sounds much better. Then there's the mocap. We've got a really robust way of taking everything inside the actors' bodies, face, hands, bones, etc., and broadcasting that to everyone. And what's cool is it's done in such a way where it's kind of hot swappable with different mocap solutions. We're using the MetaQuest Pro, but we've also tried this with the Move and Tracen 3D camera system. We've tried it with Makopi. We tried it with Xsense and Rococo and all these other ways to do full body capture. And it doesn't really matter. It's kind of motion capture agnostic, because regardless of what is happening to the body, we are broadcasting all that body data to everyone in multiplayer. And that was a white whale for a long time. It was like, how do you do something with all that live link data that's going to scale well when you need to send it to lots of audience members? A couple other things. We finally figured out how to capture the entire show, how to preserve it in a way that feels incredibly, like if you watch the replay, you still feel like you're there. I read a book in 2008 called The Invention of Morel. I'm going to pull up close on here and kind of like lean in to tell you about this. The Invention of Morel. In fact, you know what? I'm going to find an image of it here. Invention of Morel by Adolfo Bioy Casares. Sorry for that terrible pronunciation. And yeah, I'll give you the brief description. 1940 novella by Argentinian author. It's a diary from a fugitive on a mysterious island who discovers a group of people trapped in a perpetual loop, revealed to be recordings from a machine that captures and replays sensory experiences, exploring themes of reality, love, and immortality. It's a great novella, totally worth reading for the 90 pages or so it takes. And this was something I've been chasing for a long time. It's like, how can you have, especially in VR, a capture of a live event, something that we all went through together, like a theater experience, and make it feel like you were back there watching it all happen? Because in the book, yeah, this guy is there and he's just watching this like replay over and over again, and he thinks it's real. And so now we can capture not just the mocap and the face cap and the show cues and the audio. We capture everything the audience is doing. Any weird little thing that happens during the show, it's all captured. It's preserved in amber. We can't edit it, even if we want to, which is like there's a blessing and a curse to that. It's preserved in amber, and it's exactly that forevermore, for the rest of time. And I think there's something really cool about that. So that's using Unreal Engine's replay system. Here, I'll pull this up too. Maybe even show it a little bit. Unreal Engine replay system. Yeah. And so, you know, this is designed for when you're doing like a video game playback kind of thing, where it's like, yeah, let's watch you drive through that course again. For anyone who remembers games where you could do like a ghost run and you could see, you know, you driving that course in Gran Turismo or whatever a couple laps ago. So it's like that, but we're doing it with again, all the things happening over the course of a live show. And it was hard. We've been trying to do this for 3 years and we finally have it and it feels good. And recording the entire show is 100 megabytes. It's pretty cool. 100 megabytes to capture everything that happens over the course of this hour. And so what we're going to do, starting on Christmas Eve, like the way TBS will play like a Christmas story over and over again, we are just going to be able to, every holiday season, instead of doing the actual live show, we'll have this little flashback kind of thing. It'll be like, hey, we're going to loop a few of our favorite live recordings from this year's run, And you'll just get to pop in at any time. You'll see the ghosts of audiences past, you know, because that's all preserved in there. But you'll also see who the other ghosts are who are joining you at that moment for the show. So, you know, maybe we'll find some kind of way to visually distinguish them. It's actually, that part's not hard to do because that's your spectator pawn that's like on top of all this. Anyway, yeah, that'll be fun. That'll be a cool way that people can still experience the show. It'll feel live. Every little quirk, you know, if Ari slightly augments a line or has a really funny moment, like with an audience member, that's all there. It's preserved forever. And if one of you wants to be an audience member who just like flies around in circles doing zigzags or whatever for 20 minutes, sure, that will also be preserved and everyone will see forevermore every holiday season that that's what you did. Cool. All right. So Christmas Carol, to wrap that up. Yes, please come to the show. It's our final one. You can check it out at xmascarolvr.com. Tickets are free, as per usual. And there's a few links that'll take you to an Eventbrite. Don't forget to download the app. And yeah, and there's a little information about that Christmas Eve live stream. Like in previous years, we'll have cinematic live streams from the beautiful work from Jackie Roman on our team, who captures the show live. But then, yeah, you'll be able to pop into the VR app and experience some playbacks of the show that way. Similarly, for anyone in New York City tomorrow night, Wednesday night, there will be an XR holiday party hosted by Unreal NYC, Unity NYC, XR Guild, VRARA, XR Motion, all these cool companies that are trying to put on a very exciting live show sort of thing. And it's co-sponsored by Meta and Epic Games. Oops, sorry, I got to share this tab instead. Just wanted to show you the Eventbrite. Yeah. And Meta's kindly offered to show some of our replays during that event. So Meta will be there with people able to put on headsets. I kind of like this angle, by the way. It's like a little bit off. I could like scoot myself over a little bit here. I can go to my host controls and be like, let's go more that way. Yeah, that's the most I can scoot over. But yeah, it's that's going to be cool. And I'm kind of jumping the gun a little bit, as is going to happen, because I got so many tabs open right now. So there's that XR holiday party. I'll show you that first. So we're going to do share this tab, and I'll do show overlay. So there's the XR holiday party. And you might be thinking, wait, Alex, okay, cool, Sour Mouse, XR holiday party, Unreal NYC, what's that? And that's been a big part of this year, and probably the biggest reason why I have not been doing the podcast as much. I think the last podcast episode was before I became the new organizer of Unreal NYC. So this started as a meetup group, and I attended a few of these back in, 2016, 2017, I think. I will share this page. So I did not create this group. Share this tab, Unreal NYC. I did not create this group. It existed before me. It had maybe like 750 members when I joined. Now we're up to 1,427, which is cool. And there you can see me as the lead organizer now. And basically what was going to happen was this group was going to close down. Here, we'll do a normal camera shot here as I hide the overlay. So, yeah, this group was going to close down because there were no new meetups being hosted, basically post-pandemic. And James O'Loughlin, who was one of the assistant organizers before, was like, Alex, how would you like to take over this group? And I said, well, yeah, not something we've done before, but maybe I can grab some of my colleagues at Agile Lens and we can figure this out. And I'll talk to Epic Games and we'll figure out if there's a way that we can do this that isn't incredibly stressful. And so one thing that came to mind was Epic's New York City office is a beautiful space, and they set that space up before the pandemic. So again, like, there's not a lot of people in that office, and the main like summit area doesn't get activated a lot. So I started to talk to some people in New York office, and we found a way that we could like host events there. And so actually, if I just go to some of the previous events, let's see, list of, I should definitely know how to find like our past events, upcoming, past. Oh, now I got to sign in. That's dumb. I don't want to sign in. Let's just do the calendar. So the first event we did was in May. Here we go. Okay, show overlay. No, you're going to make me sign in for that too. That's very silly. Well, the first event was in May, and fine, I'll just try signing in with Google. We'll see if that just happens easily or not. Yeah, sure. Sure. Yeah, I'm 18 years old. Sign up. Okay. No, I don't want to select things I'm interested in. La, 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 la. Date of birth. 1827. That sounds right. Great. Cool. Oh my God. Too many questions. Okay. Let's try that again now. Going back to Meetup. There we go. Haha. Okay. So now I can share the screen again. Share this tab. All right. So this was the first one we did, May 28th. It was meant to be kind of a pre-Unreal Fest celebration before Orlando. And it was great. We did it at Epic's office. We had, who do we have for speakers that time? We had, did we not list them here? It was cool because we had an Epic speaker who was talking about, who works for Epic, who was talking about some of the new animation and rigging features coming in Unreal Engine. And then, you know, I did some like top of hour stuff. Then we had this woman, I think her name was like Rebecca Huang or Huang, who was showing really cool ways to do animated like previs inside Unreal Engine. And that was a blast. So that was cool. That happened in May. And I thought, you know, this is fun. What a cool way to bring people together. We can do demos. We got Epic providing like pizza and soda and eventually swag. And what a cool way to bring the community together. But then I was like, oh, I don't know how much we can like actually do things just at Epic's office. So then for the next one, we did it at Jet Set's studio. And this one was in July, right? Okay, so I'll share this one. Jeez, it's almost like I'm trying to catch up with an old girlfriend. And I'm like, hey, I got a new girlfriend now. And here we're doing some really fun things together. Let me show you. Yeah, because again, these are the things that I'm doing instead of the podcast, which I am a little sorry for. Oh, I lost my stream. Okay, let's try that again. Add new stream, start screen share. This one? I think it's this one. Yeah, share. That's the July one. Okay, so we do that. All right, so that was our July event. This one was at Jet Set Studio. So this is cool because we actually went to like a virtual production studio and we could hang out there. While Jet Sets and the incredibly talented Anthony Coithra talked about machines learning, making an indie solo animated short in Unreal and the incredible work he's been doing with creating tools for himself and giving them to others. And then, yeah, we had Jeremy Syracuse, Joe Jett, and Mike Grabowski all talking about the things that they do at that studio. And because we weren't at Epic's office, this was very straightforward. We didn't need to sign an NDA or anything of that nature. So that was cool. We had 90 attendees. It was a very nice thing to have in that space. And once again, Epic was kind enough to provide pizza and soda. So that was cool. So then fast forward to August. And we had this August meetup. We did this one at Zero Space. And that was cool. Zero Space is a great venue. They're down in Brooklyn. So a little hard to get to. But yeah, we had Arturo Brena and some of the folks at Zero Space speaking as well. And Arturo, by the way, if you don't know, runs an incredible company called Keshframe, and they do broadcast work and they do things for the Super Bowl. And they also did a very impressive pivot, not a full pivot, but like they do stuff in UEFN now, and they've made some good money and gotten some great attention for their UEFN work, despite not having a real background in game design. So that was incredibly inspiring. And that was cool. Okay, so it was around this time where I was like, hey, maybe let's try to go back to having an event at Epic's office. And so then, fast forward over to New York. And this was after 3DNY, another really fun meetup in New York City, had also had an Epic event there. And I also got to be a teacher for an AIA-sponsored event. It was kind of like how to use virtual production if you're an architect and want to use Unreal Engine and that kind of stuff. So this was in my capacity as like an Unreal Engine authorized trainer and training center. But it was around this time where I found out that I was doing the Unreal Engine events thing completely wrong, because there is actually a dedicated sect of Epic Games for community meetups. And as you've seen, we've gone months and months and months here without me being aware of that. I'm like pulling favors from person A and person B and, you know, finding money from this department to order pizza. And it wasn't off the books. It was all by the book. And like there were different departments signing off on things. But it wasn't the way this is supposed to be done, as I learned here. And I think I was actually in like an Unreal Engine town hall meeting where I think Kathy Isaacs had like brought up, and everyone be sure to check out like Unreal Communities. And I was like, what's Unreal Communities? Well, communities are in a second. First, let me tell you a little bit about this event, because this was cool. totally by coincidence, Matt Workman, the great and talented, who was also featured on stage with Corey, also guest of the show, Corey Strasburger. They both had a great thing with Blue and talking about metahumans at State of Unreal in Orlando. That was so cool to see them on stage. Matt Workman came to talk about how he's using metahumans and AI and had like a virtual band thing going on. And then Woody Davis, who I've also been on his podcast to talk about Unreal Engine and all that. He also came and spoke also a little bit about like virtual bands and all that kind of thing. So that was all cool. That was great. But this event became a little bit of a mess because of some of the things we were trying to figure out. But as part of that, I did end up finally figuring out how to work with the Unreal Communities team. So let me show you this. And this is where we really get into not just like what's up in Alex's world, but this could benefit you. So if you've made it this far into the podcast, pay attention. If you've got an Unreal Engine community where you live, as in like there are people around you who use Unreal Engine, there is funding and support from Epic Games to help you host meetups. Hey, check this out. This is the XR Holiday Party that's coming up. So yeah, step one is if you go to communities.unrealengine.com, we can click on things like this and we can see, ah, yes, here's this XR Holiday Party. There's Alex Coulomb, who's, you know, one of the organizers. Here's all the linky stuff. And that's in New York. Then we've got, you know, this Pittsburgh event that's happening in January. And this looks like it's going to be online. So in theory, like anyone can join that. And then what? And then, yeah, you can search by your region. So I'll go somewhere crazy. Like, let's find like what's nearby, like London. Okay. So London, yeah. So there's actually a London meetup group directly, and we don't see any events coming up right now. But yeah, I mean, the other thing you can just pay attention to is like all these areas here. And then we can also just look at what the upcoming events are here. So there's Global Game Jam, there's Unreal Chicago, et cetera, et cetera. And then if you're like, yeah, let's go back to the London example. If you're like, oh, hey, it looks like London isn't having that many events right now, you could apply if you're logged in. You can join, but then you can also apply to be an organizer. And that's basically you saying like, hey, I could be a community leader and I could start to get together people at certain locations, venues, offices, parks, whatever, for Unreal Engine meetups. And this is the way Epic wants you to do it. And if you do it this way, then Epic will give you like money for people, send you swag, and they will, you know, help you spread the word about the event. And that's cool. So I now have started to do this more the correct way, including at our most recent December event. If I just click on that. Oop, no, not the Raleigh one. Ah, Unreal NYC. Like we should be able to see our past events here somewhere as well. New York. Upcoming events, past events, there you go. So there's like the December event. Yeah, and so there we go. We had Andrew Delgado, Eugenia talking about the replay system we developed for Christmas Carol, and Ajinkya Hukarikar, who talked about virtual production. And Andrew was talking about some really cool Archivist stuff as well. So this is all recorded, by the way. I'm happy to share links for these events. There's a little playlist I've been putting together over here. And so, yeah, I mean, here we are doing the meetup at Epic's office. Hello, Alex's torso. There's our October event. And I don't know why we're still just looking at me doing like the top of show announcements. There's Woody Davis talking. And then we got like Matt Workman talking about his stuff. And that's all cool. And then we've got, here's like June talking about Christmas Carol and all the things we figured out with recording the show. And that was at SVA. So universities, great partners if you're thinking about becoming an Unreal organizer yourself. So the SVA, I don't think you're going to see the actual space here because we're just doing this like over Zoom. But it's like, you know, a proper lecture hall, a kind of viewing theater. And again, Epic was happy to provide money for swag and food and all of that good stuff. So is that all I wanted to say about Unreal NYC? Yes. Oh, also, we have like a speaker submission thing. I'll drop a link to that. I'm going to put a bunch of stuff in like the show notes for this. So if you would like to speak at Unreal NYC, even if you are not based in New York City, submit and just say like, hey, I think I'm going to be in New York like first week of February or something like that. And we might actually, you know, organize a meetup around you being there. We're trying to theme them a little bit if we can. So someone who's only interested in game design doesn't end up at a virtual production meetup, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, I mean, we're open to anyone who thinks they've got something cool to share with the Unreal community. Like just like Unreal Fest, you don't want it to be just self-promotional. We're like, look how cool I am. Check out my portfolio. You want it to be like practical, actionable things. Like you can see in June's presentation here, you know, she's giving like, here's our results, here's the way the recording system works, here's the CVARs we're using, here's what we're doing with blueprints. Like, we like this kind of very clear, way of showing people, like, if you would like to do this too, this would be the way to do it. So that's all cool. Okay, I think that's it for Unreal NYC. Also, for teaching in general, so where did I travel this year? I did Orlando twice, I did Vancouver twice, I did London twice, I did Stockholm for Unreal Fest Stockholm, bounced all over, and then Austin a couple times too. So the second time I went to Vancouver was for this really cool event that I will share now, and it was called Level Up. Let's do a little zoom into that. Boop, boop. Level Up, video game tools for performing artists. It was November 15th and 16th, and it was at the Signal Studio at DigiBC, and it was a blast. Debbie Wong runs Renaissance Opera. I think they just say Renaissance Opera, and it's wonderful. And this was cool because I got to just hang out with a bunch of very talented performing artists who come from backgrounds as, you know, directors, set designers, lighting designers, etc. None of whom had any, you know, intense experience in Unreal Engine. And I got to just like show them, here's some great ways to use Unreal Engine. And this was a workshop format that I'm really happy with how it turned out. And so I am also just kind of putting this out into the universe that if you or anyone you know would like a workshop like this, let me know, because I'd love to do more of these. It was 2 days. Day one was like fire hose of information. It was just like, here's all the basics of Unreal. We showed in like 5.7 this great new intro to Unreal template that they give you that kind of, it's like a little bit of a gamified tutorial that walks you through like everything from lights to collisions to materials. And then, yeah, it was like, here's just all the things Unreal Engine's capable of. Da, 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 da. And then day two was much more focused on like, okay, now, how are you actually going to use this? Are you going to be the kind of person who's in Unreal, in the weeds, getting dirty, figuring this stuff out? Or are you going to be more of like a producer? Are you going to be someone who's like overseeing other people using Unreal? And you need to know like a little bit about how Unreal works, but you don't actually need to know when to use a flip-flop blueprint and when to use a branch node and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So then the workshops on day two were like very much specialized for different purposes. So it would be like, here's one that's like about, you know, using metahumans and creating metahumans to look a certain way, and using webcams to do metahuman animator capture, and using body capture in a variety of different ways. We're using like Self-Reflect from Brielle Garcia, like a really, really cool app that does face and body and hands all just from an iPhone. And then we were looking at, yeah, using the Move and Trace In AI system, which we also demonstrated at Unreal NYC with the CEO of Move and Trace In at the October event. That was really cool. And then, yeah, here's how you do it with Makopi, and here's how you do it with 50 other different methods, and here's what you do with just Live Link Face. So these were all like little mini workshops very focused on things. And so like, and when I went into blueprints, it wasn't just general blueprints. It was like, okay, a lot of people in here are dealing with shows and cues. Let's create a blueprint that's like a very straightforward way to swap out your sets and your lights and like jump from one show cue to another. And I did that in like the most brute force way possible to force the blueprint to be very simple. And it was just through streaming levels. It was like, we've got an array of streaming levels and we are cycling through everything in that array and we're turning things off here and turning things on there. Which, by the way, not to rewind even further back from Unreal, that's the first kind of coding I did ever in any capacity at all. Like when I did Unity back in 2013, and that was all C-sharp, JavaScript at first, and then C-sharp, the first thing I needed to learn how to code was like, how do I turn some things off and other things on? Because I can have everything I need available in my scene, and as long as I can just show them one at a time, whether it's set designs or architectural design options for a railing or materials, as long as one can be off, or you know, all of them can be off, then one of them can be on, that can be fine. So I often will find some way to bring that into even industry-specific workflows when teaching blueprints. And I recommend this to you as well if you are a teacher trying to bring people into the world of Unreal Engine without making it too overwhelming, because this can be like a 8-node blueprint that covers like a lot of ground, and then you can go into like modulo and like the way that you cycle back around if the array, if you get to the end of the array and all that. But yeah, that was cool. I was really happy with this workshop. Again, it was like 2 full 8-hour days of like going through everything you can with Unreal, and I'd love to do more things like that. So I guess I'm just putting that out into the world. I also brought my kids to a lot more events this year. For anyone else who's a dad, some of you might remember I had a podcast called XR Dad back in the day with Logan Smith, and that's kind of still going strong. I'm still finding excuses to bring my kids into the world of Unreal, into the world of VR. So I actually had my 8-year-old at this workshop, and I let him teach people the basics of navigating Unreal and using an Xbox controller and the editor and WASD and Q&E and zooming in and zooming out and F to frame in on things or focus, and that was really cool. And then similarly, two times I was in Orlando. First, of course, for Unreal Fest, but the second time was for Halcycon, which I might have talked about a little bit last year. Let's see if I can find which of my tabs has this open. Here we are. Share this tab. Yeah, Galactic Star Cruiser. So this is one of the many reasons why we're retiring Christmas Carol this year, because this show is now, or this experience is now doing a lot of the things that we were doing with Christmas Carol. This started as a open source digital twin that Agile Lens was building to archive this Star Wars immersive theater experience that Disney spent like $200 million on and just wrote off as like a deduction on their taxes. And not a lot of people got to see it, you know, and we were lucky we were able to as kind of a company work trip. And so we've been trying to preserve it. We presented it at Halcycon, this convention about the Halcyon Galactic Star Cruiser experience, in October of 2024. First, as just a digital twin, the architecture side of Agile Lens and what we do. And it was kind of like, hey, cool, here's what it feels like to walk around and the scale is right. And that was enough to make people pretty emotional. We had people tearing up, kind of being like, I remember standing here with my dad in this spot and my dad's no longer with me. And like, that was a really powerful spatial moment. Like, this is the power of VR when done well, is evoking these memories that are very different from just looking at a photo. But then for this year, we, how do I not explain too much in a row here? We've been building out more of a live performance toolkit, something more modular that can work across mixed reality and virtual reality and for rehearsals and previs and live shows. And we tested this as an opportunity to inject live performance tools into this, because of course this was kind of a LARP, an immersive theater experience that lasted 2.5 days. And it's like, well, gee, we should actually be able to make it possible for people to recreate that experience and go through this again as like a 2.5 day immersive theater experience if anyone wants to stay in VR that long. And we've done that. We've done some version of that now, where when people were able to experience this in October at Halcycon, they actually could, you know, activate different characters and perform as those characters as they moved around inside the Star Cruiser experience. And that was cool. People got a big kick out of being, you know, a Stormtrooper or Wraith Cole or any of the other characters who are in this experience. Great. And so I brought that up originally because I wanted to say I brought my other son, my 10-year-old, to this, and he had a blast being part of a Star Wars convention, which I think most 10-year-olds would be pretty happy with. But now we'll kind of rewind back in time a little bit. So, yeah, so this is based on what we're calling Stage Presence, which is this toolkit, which is based on things we've done with Christmas Carol and our work with the Royal Shakespeare Company and the things we've been doing with Galactic Star Cruiser and some little bits and pieces we did there. And Your Mind Girls, which I'll talk about briefly as well. But now it's like we have all these different productions where we built very specific things for those productions and we want to reuse them. And so rather than dealing with constantly like migrating from one Unreal Engine project to another, we want them to be templates and plugins and toolkits and things that we can easily reuse. So that's what we're calling Stage Presence, this thing that has a lot of capability for rehearsing a show, for prevising a show, for doing things for the actors, for the stage managers, for the understudies. We've got scripts everywhere. We've got rehearsal cubes. We've got the ability to turn physics on and off. We can put in the size of a set or a stage and engage with that. And it is all very exciting. I'll show you a little bit more about this on the new and slightly more modern looking Agile Lens website. We've stripped away all the stuff that we've had since like 2018, very, very weebly. And now it's like, okay, here's a bunch of our clients. You know, here's some Four Seasons stuff. Here's some Royal Caribbean stuff with a VR hot air balloon ride we worked on this year. That was very cool in Unreal Engine. By the way, started as PC VR, then we stripped it down into something that was still sixed off. And there's a real, you know, balloon that matches with this physical balloon. There's a sixed off virtual balloon that matches with the real physical balloon. But then everything you're seeing is like 360 rendered, and that turned out really well. But let me scroll down for a second to show that. Holodeck Anywhere. That's the New York version of the holodeck, by the way. That's very cool. The same thing we did in Austin. We have that in New York now. If you want to do some crazy photoreal ray traced VR in New York, let me know and we'll connect you with that. Okay, so here's the first kind of iteration of Stage Presence, which we did with the Royal Shakespeare Company. And so this was done in such a way where we wanted the actors who were just in a rehearsal room to feel like they were actually in the real theater. And we did these like nice little cutouts so they could actually like see each other as real people and not just avatars. If someone joins in remotely, they can come in as avatars as well. But then we'd put like blocking notes on the ground and we'd have all these ways to kind of save the data for the show, and you can have the set design kind of cycle through. So this was part of a grant with the Royal Shakespeare Company, and we had a ton of fun with that. So we're taking all the pieces we can legally from our different projects that we, you know, still own the IP for, and we're putting that into like one toolkit that we hope to bring forward for a wide variety of new live shows in the future, whether they have an XR component at the end of that rainbow or if they just want to use some of these tools for previs. So that's been really, really fun. We have some nice testimonials. Cool, cool, cool. Read the nice things people say about Agile Lens. We love testimonials. I mean, I did the same thing at XmasCarolVR.com, where we have like what people are saying about the show, and we have all these like nice things from social media of people getting excited about what they saw, and that's always fun. So we're talking about kids joining me on business trips. Fun. It's like if you give them the right level of responsibility where there's like something they need to do, but it's not overwhelming, and it's like not the end of the world if they don't quite do it right. Like, I think kids really enjoy having a thing that to do that is going to be helpful. I think kids do like to be helpful. They don't like to fail at being helpful, and they don't like to be overwhelmed. But this stuff is all cool. Stage presence. Okay, let me talk very quickly about Your Mind Girls. This was at the Barnard College, Barnard Movement Lab. And by the way, if you want to hear discussion in any more detail about any of the projects I'm bringing up, there is a talk that we gave at Unreal NYC last week. I think I've got it up here somewhere. Yeah, I'll just show this real quick. We called the talk Productions, Prototypes, and Pitfalls. It's about the 1 hour, 8 minute mark into this year. Again, this will be in a list of show notes or whatever. And this is where I kind of like run through over the course of 15 minutes a bunch of the things we learned over the different projects we've been involved with over the year. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, with like nice big bold text, like, you know, no giant paragraphs to read on each slide. You know, these kinds of big takeaway lessons. And then, yeah, some of the stuff we're doing in the future. Fun, fun, fun stuff. Yes. So I got to start closing some of these tabs. Too many open now. Right. So I'm looking for Your Mind Girls. And sorry for anyone who's audio only and is like, come on, Alex, get to the things you're trying to show. Your Mind Girls is there, and we'll look at it on Hope Hutman's website. Here we go. So Hope was the artist in residence at Barnard College, and she came to us to ask if she could use basically like a show controller sort of thing, like what we had for Christmas Carol, to run the show. And we were excited about the project, and the scope of it kind of kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And unfortunately, we continued to be very, very excited about it, which meant it became a lot of work. But the cool thing about this was, as far as I know, the world's first like proper mixed reality play, where there's one actor on stage. Here you see Dawn, the actor, rehearsing. During the actual show, she did not wear VR. Here's the actual show down here. Get that little GIF going. So she had to know where all the virtual characters and set pieces and whatnot were going to be on stage. And she had to look right at them, make eye contact, and have these moments with them. And yeah, one of these people is not human. That one right there. So this was really cool because we had a whole audience there. All of them were wearing Quest headsets. I don't have a Quest headset right here, but they're in pass-through, and they can see real Dawn, real set, real lights, and then virtual lights, virtual set, virtual characters, all acting together. And this was all co-located using the same system that we've done for our holodeck in New York, where we're using meta-shared spatial anchors to co-locate all the content everyone is seeing. By the way, much easier to do that in standalone VR compared to PC VR, but by golly, we finally figured it out for PC VR. Now we're trying to figure out how to do that with Aruko markers and QR codes using things like ALVR, which has like more open source components for PC VR for that kind of stuff. But anyway, yeah, this was another influence for the kind of stuff that we are trying to do with our work in the future. We love the idea of getting people into a room together for a mixed reality show. I'm particularly excited about opportunities where we could do this plus Christmas Carol, like something like there's a way for people in the room to experience the show together right in front of them, but there's also opportunities for people from around the world to join in and be in VR and experience the show in that kind of way as well. Live, you know, still, you're still a co-present audience. You just have the virtual reality version and the on-site mixed reality version. So I keep having new dreams, and like, that's my new, not my newest dream. I've had that dream for a long time, but like, that feels like the next one that's in reach, where if we found the right partner, found the right funding, like we could do something really cool with mixed reality, co-located audience and virtual audience joining in a different capacity to experience a cool live show. Okay, let's look through a few more of my tabs here. I'm just going to close some of the things we don't need to talk about anymore. Christmas Carol, goodbye. Christmas Carol, goodbye. Unreal NYC Meetup Group, goodbye. Doop, doop, doop. We're almost done. We've gone through a lot of stuff. Okay, I haven't talked about Unreal Fest at all. Unreal Fest was cool this year. Once again, like last year, I ended up... I ended up going to two Unreal Fests. I did Unreal Fest Orlando with most of the Agile Lens team. We had Dante and June and Wit on my team all teaching. And then I gave a talk called, I Wish I Learned This Sooner. It was, where are you? No, not that one. Well, yeah, Unreal Fest Orlando, and my talk was called The Best Template You're Not Using, about the Collab Viewer template, which ironically enough, Unreal Engine, love the thumbnails they do, was a talk that I thought I had been asked to give the year before. So what had happened was, a couple years ago, Epic actually accepted way too many of my talks, and I had to tell them, look at that lighting, by the way, nice lighting. Thank you, Epic, for making me look so cool. Purple's a good color for me. And Epic accepted too many of my talks, and I had to push back and be like, I will die if I give all these talks. And one of them was about the Collab Viewer template. So then the next year I forgot about that, and then I saw my name and Collab Viewer template, and I started to prepare like a Collab Viewer template talk. This is for Seattle in 2024. And I was like, no, I'm not giving a talk about that. But then I submitted the talk again, like properly, for Unreal Fest Orlando. And then, yes, that got accepted. So I gave this talk, and it was fun. And we actually talked a little bit about Galactic Star Cruiser. And we had just, like, gone Galaxy's Edge and scanned, like, a bunch of stuff to include in our project. And then I think we see a little bit of, like, yeah, here's the Galactic Star Cruiser stuff at the end there for Star Wars. Cool. That was fun. And then I went to Unreal Fest Stockholm, which was amazing. What a cool city. What a cool venue. And I got to give kind of the sequel to my Prague talk called... I Wish I Learned This Sooner. Is that right? Yeah, there we go. Yeah, and so this was, you know, just another bazillion tips and tricks compiled very much by the Agile Lens team, and this has gotten a very nice response. And yeah, this is all in my playlist called Alex Coulomb Unreal Engine Talks, and that playlist grows by the day or year or whatever. And I'm really happy to see that people are finding this useful. There's like all sorts of, some of these are like very, very quick tips. And then in other cases, it's like, here's a very specific way we found to deal with like destruction in standalone VR. Because we did another project this year called City of Apparition, which needed to have some pretty complex effects all running on standalone VR. And that project's had a very cool run touring like Taiwan and things like that. Cool. Okay, so Unreal Fest was great. As usual, met a bazillion awesome people. I met plenty of fans of the podcast. Thank you for your support and for hanging out with me and making me feel like a special loved person. And it goes right back at you, of course. And then a couple other things I want to mention as I close down a few more tabs are, don't forget to submit to Unreal Fest Chicago. Just yesterday, they announced that they have a call for speakers, and they are even saying, there we go, apply to present... Oh, I lost my stream. Oh, it's because I can't close the tab that I'm sharing right now. Okay, so apply to present at Unreal Fest Chicago. Here we go. So this is the hottest news I can give. This was probably the oyster that tipped the camel's back. That's not right. The needle in the haystack that tipped the haystack over. This was the final straw that made me want to be like, let's just go do an episode, because it's like, yeah, I should make sure people know to apply to Unreal Fest, because, you know, Unreal Fest prices keep getting more and more expensive. And I don't love that, because I do want this to be an event that feels accessible to everyone. But the best way to have an affordable Unreal Fest experience is to get a talk accepted. It's going to be June 16th to 18th in Chicago. Surprisingly, I don't think we've heard an announcement yet about the other Unreal Fests for 2026. But yeah, as they say, you know, we're looking for talks that are going to make people feel inspired, energized, enlightened. Don't just show off your portfolio. Here's some nice shots of Unreal Fest Stockholm. Such a fun time. And yeah, the submissions close January 22nd. There's a big apply now button at the bottom. And here's the call for proposals. Yeah, here's what we're looking for. It's what we're not looking for. Proposals will be evaluated based on relevance to the audience, subject matter expertise, speaker credentials, and technical details. So here's the other thing too, is you can submit more than one talk. For Unreal Fest Stockholm, I wasn't sure if they were going to let me come back because usually they don't have, you know, North American speakers travel to Europe unless they work for Epic. So I was like, oh, I really want to go. What do I do? Because also there were like friends from like Finland and whatnot that I wanted to hang out with in Stockholm. So I did six submissions. I submitted six different talks to Unreal Fest Stockholm. And one of them got in, so that was cool. And I'm going to try to, you know, do something similar again for Chicago. Even though for, you know, Orlando last year, I did only submit one or two, and, like, that was fine. But I think a lot of people feel like, you know, they got to figure out, like, what's their best bet at a talk. And it's kind of the same thing with, like, mega grants. Like, I've still been very unsuccessful with mega grants. We've had seven or eight unsuccessful pitches for mega grants. But it's not like you only can have one mega grant application in at a time. You can have several, but it is kind of a crushing defeat, especially if you've put a lot of time into it, to just have it keep coming back with like, nope, nope, nope. And so certainly, like, that is a risk. You could put a lot of time into making sure you've got some killer talk proposals for Unreal Fest, and then for reasons that you couldn't know, like there's too many people speaking about metahumans, or there's too many people speaking about the new mutable sample or something like that, they might just be like, no, we're not doing any more talks for that. But again, you're going to maximize your chances by having a wide variety of possible things to talk about. So, oh, did I not share this tab? I'm sorry if I didn't share this tab at all. Call for proposals. That's all. I was just trying to show like what's on that page. And yeah, speaker benefits. Complimentary pass. No paying for Unreal Fest. It gives you the expo halls, the talks, all the amazing food they give you, networking opportunities, parties, receptions, complimentary hotel stay. That's awesome. They give you like a week at the hotel for the conference. And then, of course, yes, global visibility of your content through the conference and post-event on Unreal Engine's channels. I've had lots of very cool people tell me they found me or my podcast or my training center or whatever through the talks I've given at Unreal Fest over the years. So purely from a marketing opportunity, yeah, it's worth it to try to get over there. And, you know, I think some people really feel like, I can't talk about what my company does. I'm going to give away all my secrets. And it's like, I think that's a really limited way to go through life, because the thing is, we're all constantly evolving and learning new things. And if you feel like you've got some secret sauce that cannot be shared, then I just kind of feel like you're doing it all wrong. Like, give away as much as you can without, you know, making a client upset. Because here's the thing. That's going to lead to really great discussions. It might lead to new clients. It might lead to other people who want to build on what you say. And they say, hey, I saw you giving that tip about how you're optimizing, relay rigs or whatever. There's actually a better tip than the one you showed, and it's new in 5.7, and here it is. And like, the more you put out there, the more you're going to get back, and the more people are going to want to engage with you. And also, you can think of it kind of selfishly too. There's so much in Unreal Engine all the time, I forget 90% of it. And so one of the great reasons to give a talk or tutorial or create a course is to make sure that you can reference it later. I go back to my old talks and forum posts and everything all the time to remind myself how some of these things actually work. And I have no shame about that. Like, that's fine. I can't remember all this stuff, you know, especially going back to like, oh, there was a cool CVAR I found in Unreal Engine 4.17 or something with the original VR template, and I wonder if it's still around. And like, I can find those old videos on YouTube, and that's incredibly helpful. Similarly, worth mentioning for anyone who is set up with Unreal Academy, which I'll pull up here briefly for anyone who doesn't know what that is. Unreal Academy, Professional Training Partners Academia. We have four new courses that we've worked on that are part of this for anyone who has access to these. June and I did an OSC course, which again was derived from the way we're using OSC to kind of fake multiplayer in Unreal Engine for our shows, so that everyone's getting sent the same data at the same time. And so even though everyone is technically in single player, it kind of feels like multiplayer. So we kind of walk you through OSC stuff. Whit Sellers and I adapted the course he taught as a live lab at Unreal Fest Orlando and in Seattle about going from Unity to Unreal Engine. And now that's like an official course in here. And then we also did two on data ingestion, one about DataSmith and one about like FBX data ingestion and those workflows. So in addition to everything else going on this year, there's four of those inside Unreal Academy now. if you have access to these. There are some like requirements. You need to be like an academic partner, or you have to pay for a license or something like that. I'm not entirely sure, but academy.unrealengine.com. Okay, let's see. I've only got a few tabs still open, and we're going to wrap it up because we are at an hour, and I don't love hearing myself talk that much. But I do love showing my own picture, FMX. So I'll tell you a quick story that I'm a little embarrassed about, but you might enjoy it. Jan Pinkava is someone I've known for a number of years through the Realtime Conference. He is a super smart guy, and let me just actually Google him real quick, because I'd never Googled him before. This is Jan. Czech, British film producer and director. And he's been nominated for Academy Awards. And Jan directed Jerry's Game in 1997, that amazing Pixar short with the chess playing. And he co-directed Ratatouille with Brad Bird. And he's just like a super sweet, humble guy. And I've, you know, spoken with him on panels, and we've hung out at SIGGRAPH and things like that. And I did not know that this was his background. And Jan very kindly invited me to join the board, the program board of FMX for 2026, which is a conference that he runs. And this is, the Road Ahead Film and Media Exchange. It's going to be in Germany, May 5th to 7th, and I will be there, and I am helping to curate kind of a mini spatial storytelling track. We'll talk about that more in a second, but basically I'll be selecting just a few short talks and speaking myself about kind of the state of XR and what this all means for the film and media and entertainment sectors in the future. Look at that. Hold on. We're going to try to do me next to me. Nope, I went the wrong way. We're going to go here. Yeah, sure. And I just don't quite have the height right. Something like that. Okay, just for our video watchers. Right, so Jan, again, super cool guy. I was hanging out with him and Paul Debevic, who I already knew, of course, how amazing Paul is. And we were chatting about FMX, because Paul's been involved with it as well, and seems like a great event that I had always wanted to go to. So I will be doing that. And the spatial storytelling thing came out of the first time I went to Vancouver this year, which was for SIGGRAPH. And, oh, this is not quite the tab I wanted to show. This one's a little bit boring. This is the abstract for the paper we submitted to SIGGRAPH. We also gave a talk, but the talk and the paper is called Seeing Yourself on Stage, Multi-Avatar Performance, and the Evolution of Self-Monitoring in VR. Also, I realized I'm being a dum-dum by closing these tabs as I go through them, because I want to make sure I document all these and give you a list. Come on, Alex. I'm going to have to go through the recently closed tabs thing. That's a note for myself. So technically, the paper says it's published by Kevin Labeson, myself, Ari Tar, David Gotchfeld, Eugene Ye. A lot of people have touched this in different ways, but it's basically the system that we developed first for Christmas Carol and now as a part of Stage Presence for swapping between multiple avatars and having these kind of conversations with yourself where it's like freeze and then da-da-da-da-da and freeze and da-da-da-da-da, freeze, as well as the way that we allow actors to go from a first-person perspective and a third-person perspective, where the third-person one feels a little bit more like puppeteering and you have a little bit more of an idea of what your avatar looks like to the audience, but first-person is very important so you can make eye contact with the people in the audience. So that was all cool, and Ari and I had a great time performing on stage as part of the new inaugural spatial storytelling track, which was a real who's who's of like people doing crazy stuff in XR from around the world. And I loved that it was right in the middle of the XR pavilion. Like, I had a full conference pass for SIGGRAPH. I didn't use it. I just stayed in that XR pavilion spatial storytelling area the whole time. I'd love to go through a full recap of that, because there were so many interesting and cool talks and cool people. Maybe another time. But yes, and Ari and I were giving like some fun, like guerrilla demos of like Stage Presence and all that. We love, you know, there's something very cool about being able to have like a very portable theater toolkit demo setup where like we don't need like a big booth with like tons of lights and docents. Like, we can pull a headset out and be like, hey, take a quick peek at this. Now we're in VR together and it's multiplayer and I can act, la 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 la. So like, if you're a small company like mine that is bootstrapped and has no money and you're trying to just find cool ways to show off to people, like, it's great to have those kinds of apps that you can just pull out on the fly and show off. So that was a great time at SIGGRAPH. I loved it. And now I'm just clicking through some of the other tabs of stuff I wanted to mention. This is going to be random. Okay, next up, SteamFrame. I love that right now we have a competitive XR industry. This is something that has not really been true for a long time. Like, yes, we had Vive and Vario and Meta, but like, yeah, they're all kind of talking past each other. They weren't really directly competing. And now we've got Apple Vision. Well, let's just do the companies. We have Apple, we have Google and Samsung, we have Meta, we have Steam, we have Valve. You know, these are all like major consumer players who are all trying to get our attention. And that is so cool and so exciting, because guess what? When they all fight for our attention, we win as devs, as consumers, because they want us all to choose their platform. And also the way that OpenXR is propagating, like the Steam Frame, is going to support Android XR out of the box. That's really cool. Android XR, lovely operating system. We've had Unreal Engine working with it, thanks to our friends at Alchemy Labs, which I'll talk more about in a second. Oh, but I did want to show, let's see if I can find this article. Ian Hamilton, upload VR. I'll just type Alex Coulomb. Ian did do another article on us this year. There we go. XR is having a moment. So Ian and I were playing pickleball at the New York Holodeck in the Resolution Games game, Pickleball Pro. And then our audio didn't record because FaceTime does this weird thing where it won't record anyone's audio. Even like there's not even like a prompt to like give permission or anything like that. You just can't record audio. So even though Ian and I were having this really deep discussion about the state of the XR industry, I just did like a recording afterwards of like some of the things Ian and I were talking about as we were playing pickleball, which felt really good, by the way. And then, yeah, Ian kindly like did an article about it where he's like, yeah, listen to what Alex says here. So feel free to click through that and read some of that if you like. Briefly, Apple invited us to a developer event in New York. They are serious. A lot of people think Apple really messed up with Vision Pro. I humbly disagree. This headset, it's a dev kit. It's an early iteration, but we are going to see Apple in it to win it for the long haul. And I say that because of the team who is working on this. And unless Apple decides to fire them all for some reason, getting to spend 3 days with them in New York and understand their design thinking, their approach to what they want to do with this ecosystem is incredibly exciting and impressive to me. And it made me much more eager to build for Apple Vision Pro, especially with Unreal Engine, if I can, in the future. On that note, there's something exciting for all of us Unreal Engine users. Reddit, Unreal Fork. Let's see what comes up here. Oh, look, it's my LinkedIn post. Great. Glassbreakers game. Yeah, so this is me tagging a thing from Reddit where Polyarc, who makes Moss. Yeah, I'll read my post here because I'm tired and I want to stop talking soon. Or I want to stop thinking soon. Huge news, a free Unreal Engine Vision OS specific fork is coming from Polyarc, the geniuses behind Moss. From the company, we just announced the release date for Glassbreakers. It's out now, it's November 13th. It's the first game built in Unreal Engine to launch on Apple Vision Pro with full cross-platform play, MetaQuest 3S, Steam VR, and AVP. Yes, Apple Arcade members will find the game on launch day. Yes, I've played it. It took a lot of work to integrate Unreal Engine with Vision OS, but doing the work not only allowed us to bring Glassbreakers to Apple Vision Pro, but we're hoping this helps pave the way for more UE-based games to make their way to the Apple platform. We're planning to post a fork of the Unreal Engine with all the enhancements and work that went into integrating the engine with Vision OS so other studios can grab the code and learn from the work we did. Very exciting. So we're looking forward to that. I did email Polyarc and say how excited I am about that. Would love to have them on the podcast to talk more about it. But yeah, we'll see where that goes. That would be really cool because I know how limited the Unreal Engine community has felt by what they can do in Unreal Engine. And make no mistake, by far the coolest things you can do in Vision Pro right now are using the native tools, Swift and Reality Kit and Reality Composer and all that. But there are some other things on the horizon that I think could benefit Unreal Engine very well, like remote spatial rendering or remote immersive rendering, which is kind of the Vision OS version of PC VR. So you can have a very powerful like Mac Studio or something, and you're rendering the experience on the Mac Studio. And unlike MetaQuest devices, where if you're doing like MetaQuest Link, you have to be inside the headset and like find the computer that you're trying to connect to, it goes the other way for Apple, which I think makes a ton of sense. It'll be like, here are the Vision Pros near you. Which one do you want to broadcast this spatial immersive experience to? And then if it's already the same account as the headset you're in, boop, you're in it. If it's a different account, it just becomes a prompt that's like, would you like to enter this shared spatial experience kind of thing? So that's really cool. And that would mean that you could have like photoreal, ray traced, Four Seasons luxury real estate kind of stuff running from those most powerful Mac desktop devices, but displayed inside a Vision Pro. Though the M5 Vision Pro is no slouch. I haven't really seen anything yet that really took advantage of the processing power there, but I hear it can do ray tracing and fun stuff like that. So long-winded way of saying, like, keep an eye on Apple Vision Pro. I think there's a bright future ahead. Keep an eye on everything Apple is doing in this ecosystem. Keep an eye out for the PolyArc fork. They really would be a good candidate for me to interview if that comes out, so I will try to see what I can do about that. And what else was I going to say? There is actually also, I just had this moment of like, oh wait, I did an interview, coming back from London, with our friend from Stranger Things. I'm remembering the last episode of this actually recorded. So I apologize if anything I've said during this episode was somehow covered in that episode as well. I think that was right after we got back from doing our Royal Shakespeare Company stuff. But anyways, apologies for me thinking maybe that, there was more to cover in this episode than maybe I actually needed to. Galaxy XR is exciting. Some of my company got to also attend a special Google event to get a little future preview of some of the more glasses form factor stuff that Google's doing. We're excited about that. We'll keep an eye on Meta. Like, we're kind of eager to be off of Meta's ecosystem because it's really felt like it's had a stranglehold on us, and it's led to a lot of headaches with, like, OS updates that break things. So we're really eager to have more choices for the headsets we can use and more OpenXR compatibility, where we feel like we can just make one Unreal Engine build and use it on 15 different devices. Talking about Galaxy XR real quick. So we were fortunate to work with the cool folks at Alchemy Labs, who make Job Simulator and Vacation Simulator. And they, of course, typically work in Unity. I'm trying to see if I can find something here. Yeah, they made Dimensional Double Shift as well. Yeah, Unity 6, blah, 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 blah. But they also have a very talented member of their team who actually came to one of our Unreal Engine training sessions, and he's very smart, and he spoke about with us about using Unreal Engine for Android XR. So he helped us put together kind of like a template to help people get started using Unreal Engine in Galaxy XR. So that's a template we'll be releasing any day now, so keep an eye out for that, and it should support hand tracking and pass through and all that fun stuff. If not right away, then very shortly, because all the OpenXR stuff is getting easier and more straightforward. And why am I showing you this thing in the background? Because XR Bootcamp had a couple of us. So we had Philip Johnson and myself. Philip's lead platform engineer at Alchemy Labs, and I'm whoever I am from Agile Lens, talking about how we bring apps across Vision Pro, Quest, and Android XR. So yeah, Philip was talking more about the Unity side, I was talking more about the Unreal Engine side, and we had fun with that. Cool, so that was that. And then similarly, also for XR Bootcamp, here's June and I, very much leaned on June for this. We had a presentation where we talked about how to package your Unreal Engine experiences for MetaQuest. And so again, just something I will put in the show notes, all the different ways you do things with the Meta plugin, the Meta fork, you know, what's new across different versions. And I hope this is tremendously helpful to anyone who has struggled to get MetaQuest working on a headset before. And again, you're like, why are you giving all this away? It's like, because this should not be a headache. We don't want people to get hung up and give up on using Unreal Engine or VR because they can't figure out how to package their XR apps. And there's some gotchas in here. So like, we want people to know. And, you know, again, it helps us. Like, we can go back and review this as well. So this is good, like, company documentation too. So you'll see some links to those videos. What else? I think we're almost done. I know I've said that a couple times. NYVR. Okay, I think the last thing we're going to talk about is Worlds in Play. Oh, and, this is for the future. I'll share this first. MIT Reality Hack, it's a ton of fun. Last time I did it was 2020, right before the pandemic. It was like the last big gathering I did before the pandemic. Last time I was a hacker. Now I'm going to be a mentor, and that'll be much less stressful. And I will just sit there and let people come to me with their Unreal Engine questions, and I will try to help them and still get at least 6 hours of sleep per night. So that'll be fun. I'm like starting to get old enough now. Hold on, I'm 38, and like, boy, like I can only do so many all-nighters in a row now, and I get like properly exhausted. Even Christmas Carol, just with this final run, is like, I'm not even doing that much with it, but like, you know, every Friday and Saturday and Sunday of doing the show and then going back into the week, like it's a lot. So I'm glad we're ending the show for that reason, among others. Like, it'll be nice to be able to relax around the holidays. Okay, final thing I want to talk about before I let you all go, you fine, fine, lovely folks for the day, is Worlds in Play. We're sharing this tab. So you might see my sweater here. It says play. This is one of those things where it's like, I don't really want to talk about this event because it feels like a really special, best kept secret kind of thing. But I just really want to give as much credit and love to Jake Pinholster and and Scarlett Kim, who organized this, as possible, because this is a gathering of immersive creators and LARPers and board game designers and XR people. And it's not a conference. It's kind of a summit. It's kind of a residency. It's kind of a retreat. And they did a great version of this at ASU a couple years ago, which we might have talked about because Kevin Lapson and I were presenting our latest enhancements of Christmas Carol then in early 2024 off of the 2023 show. But this year we were showing some of our stage presence stuff, our Royal Shakespeare Company stuff, et cetera, et cetera. And it was like such an invigorating, joyous experience. Went right from this to SIGGRAPH. And like, if you would think I'd be exhausted going to SIGGRAPH after this, like, no, I was like pumped and ready to go, because we were a bunch of creators working across different platforms. There were a few other people working in Unreal Engine and VR. But we were there to like help each other. It was kind of like, I like Jeff Crocker, who's a fantastic speaker about all the stuff, and you should follow him if you don't already. Jeff Crocker made the observation that it kind of felt like a potluck, and it's like everyone kind of brings their own dish, and then you're kind of like, oh, that's actually not how I would make meatloaf, but I really like the way you do it. But then also, like, have you tried adding like a little paprika or whatever? And like, it becomes this very open dialogue about like, here's all the things people are creating, and it's work in progress, and it's like, it's very open, but like everyone there was super smart and they're approaching their craft from different angles. And it was just like such a cool event at the Allerton Retreat Center a little bit outside Chicago. And I just had such a good time there. Like, I think about it all the time. And so much came out of that. What was it, like a week there or something like that? So I guess what I'm hoping you take away from this, if not like come to this if you can, is if you're someone who organizes events or might be involved in making some kind of new event in the future, what a great model this one is. Like, if you can get talented people in a room together to just not lecture at each other, but to like actively participate and help each other out. Like, we were waking up at like 8 a.m., having breakfast together, getting into these sessions, getting our hands dirty, trying stuff out, doing workshops. I did like a random clowning thing. We had these spaghetti sessions where people could randomly be like, I know this weird task or this weird skill that other people don't. And you just kind of like figure out stuff together. That was so much fun. So yeah, if you were like, I'm trying to create a new event, how do I make it exciting and different from other events? Something like this would be the model I'd say go after. Help people come together, work together, collaborate, become co-creators, approach things from different angles, be interdisciplinary. And I think that's it for today, folks. How are we doing on time? So yeah, we're like at an hour, 11 minutes. That's enough time for me to be talking by myself. I hope to see some of you fine, fine folks at Christmas Carol here. I'm gonna do this close up again where you get like real nice and close on me. I hope to see some of you at Christmas Carol this weekend. And I hope to see some of you at Unreal NYC. I hope to see some of you at Unreal Fest in Chicago and the European edition, if I make it back to Europe this year, and maybe even Bali or some of the other ones from around the world. I'd love to see more people starting their own Unreal chapters. Cameron Koustopoulos, who again, we worked with on Body of Mine and are doing some other cool stuff with his new company now. Him and his partner, Matthew Hayden, they just started building up the Unreal LA meetup group. And like, I was very happy to help out with that however I could. Again, if you're like, I live in this city and there's no real Unreal meetup presence there, like, let me know, let me help out. I'd love to see those meetups and communities grow, and then we can like cross-pollinate, and like, you know, when you're in our city, your speakers can give something and we can come to your city and do something, and then we all do something fun at Unreal Fest. I don't know. In fact, I'm gonna suggest that to the cool people in the communities team. There should be like some kind of gathering at Unreal Fest for everyone who's involved with various local Unreal communities, and everyone should get a special swag. Yeah, that sounds good. And also, like, no shade at Unreal Fest, but like the swag you get at some of these community meetups, maybe better than the swag you get at Unreal Fest. So that's more of a critique of the swag you get at Unreal Fest than saying that the swag you get at the community meetups is insanely good. But again, we're grateful to Epic the software is free if you're making less than $1 million a year. The meetups are great. The community's great. I love being part of this so much. You know, on a given portion of my work day, my play day, 90% of it has to do with Unreal Engine in some capacity. I'm really excited to dive into Clair Obscur Expedition 33 after all the Game Award wins over the holidays. Would love to talk to those developers sometime. Oh, yeah. I saw like an early trailer of what the game looked like, you know, back in Unreal Engine 4. And how cool to go from that and then 5 years later to like Game of the Year. Maybe I'll put a link to that in the show notes as well. But that's enough for now. Thank you so much. I hope to see you not 6 months from now, but sooner for another unofficial Unreal Engine Meetup podcast episode. Hopefully doing more interviews. Like the interviews things is really fun. If I could find the time, I'd love to also do interviews with the people we have at Unreal NYC because they're all super cool, and I'd love to do more of these at Unreal Fest. Hey, if anyone wants to just be my assistant and just help make more of these things happen. It just feels like there's never enough time in the day. But thanks, everyone. You're all cool. You're all working on cool projects. Don't give up. If you need to take a break and go work on something else for a while, do that. Sometimes I find it's helpful to bounce between like four projects at once and just kind of cycle through them and like let this one compile and then go and try something new here and then try this in VR. And like sometimes it helps to like have your hands moving a lot rather than getting a headache, beating your head against the wall with one CVAR or blueprint node that isn't behaving the way you expect it to. So stay strong, have fun, enjoy all those new tools in 5.7. And I'll see you again soon. Happy holidays and have a great new year. Goodbye.